Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, you know, I miss those old days when Fridays were boring and nothing was happening. You know, when Biden was president. And nothing was going on because he was checked out. At this moment right now, in the Biden presidency, he was building a sandcastle, literally by 3 p.m., even in this kind of weather. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. That's not how things are in the Trump administration. No way. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Caroline Levitt just gave a big White House press briefing, and tariffs are going into effect. Or are they? You know what I'm wondering about this? And that's obviously something that is going to clearly be the dominating news story for the rest of the afternoon. That and officials in D.C. just gave an update. Caroline Levitt came out today. And welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I don't know if I said that or not. I think I did, but I'm not quite sure. If I didn't, my apologies. We are working on getting the streaming going. I think we are. But let's see. Let's see. I think we're getting it going. If not, just be patient with us, and we'll have it going very, very soon.
Stream is live.
The stream is live. Beautiful. Great. All right. Wonderful. So, number one, before we get anywhere, it was not a transgender helicopter pilot. This morning I woke up and my inbox was flooded with all these people saying it was a transgender helicopter pilot for the Black Hawk helicopter. And it wasn't. The man who was the person that they said was the person flying that went on Facebook and said it wasn't me. So that's number one. And I think it's a good reminder. We can't believe everything we hear on the internet. We have to kind of take a deep breath and let it sink in. Because I got my friend of mine send that to me this morning. So when I woke up, I saw that. And I just wrote her back and I said, is there a link or anything? Is there a story to this? And by the time I clicked on the tweet, because you could see the tweet preview. By the time I clicked on the tweet had been deleted already. But by then, it had blown up. But it turns out that's not the case. That doesn't mean there wasn't another DEI person behind the helm of the aircraft. We don't know, but it wasn't that. So that was one of those fake rumors, fugazi rumors that happens on the internet. And, you know, this is why I try to be very, what's the word for it? Sober-minded. I mean, literally, I'm sober. This dry January is freaking killing me, but it comes to an end officially today, although I'm going to keep going with it. But it's, you got it, because you know why? I'll tell you the reason. The reason is because there's so much information we have to go through it all and figure out what's real. I'd rather be the like the 800th guy to bring you something just to make, but I want it to be right. You know what I mean? I don't need to get the clicks and the tweets and then just be wrong, because you're putting your faith in me that I'm going to tell you something that's not a fugazi. So I just want to get that out right away. That's my thing. I got to make sure it's not a fugazi, because I listen, there's lots of things out there every single day on all kinds of different things. A lot of things turn out to be true. A lot of things not so true. Not so much. You know what I mean? So that's kind of my blanket approach to that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll share with you more details on that as the show unfolds today. But let's begin with something the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said a short time ago. And this is obviously the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. And two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So Karoline Leavitt came to the White House podium today and confirmed tariffs are going to go in place tonight at midnight. Here's what the White House press secretary said. This is cut number three. Karoline Leavitt, take a listen.
A decision on the Canada-Mexico tariffs, mm-hmm. but that they won't actually be implemented until March 1st. I was wondering if you could confirm that and talk through some of the president's thinking.
I saw that report, and it is false. I was just with the president in the Oval Office, and I can confirm that tomorrow, the February 1st deadline that President Trump put into place at a statement several weeks ago, continues. The president will be implementing tomorrow a 25% tariffs on Mexico, 25% tariffs on Canada, and a 10% tariff on China for the illegal fentanyl that they have sourced and allowed to distribute into our country, which has killed tens of millions of Americans. These are promises made and promises kept by the president.
The president yesterday said that last night he was planning to discuss whether an exemption would be made on oil imports. Do you have any information on what decision he made there, or will there be exemptions at all offered under this?
I don't have an update or readout for you on the exemptions, but those tariffs will be for public consumption in about 24 hours tomorrow, so you can read them then.
All right. Now, is this a mental psyop game? See, what Karoline Leavitt was saying today was that the reason why this is going into effect is because China, or I should say Mexico and Canada, have allowed fentanyl to come across the border. All right? So she called out Justin Trudeau. I'll get into Justin Trudeau as the show goes on today, but she called out Justin Trudeau and said he would be wise to speak directly to the president about tariffs. Now, as a potential governor of a 51st state, he would also be wise to do that just to get in good with the president if he does become governor of Canada and it becomes a 51st state. It won't happen, by the way. He would never become governor of that state. That's all I'm saying. Could become part of the United States, but it would not be him. He's so unpopular at this point. He's so weak. This is what she said regarding Canada, regarding Mexico, and regarding the tariffs, cut number two.
So the Canadian Prime Minister said today that if the U.S. imposes tariffs, he will respond and he will not relent until the tariffs are removed. Are we seeing the start of a trade war with Canada?
I don't think so. I think the president is going to implement those tariffs tomorrow, and he will respond to Mr. Trudeau's comments in due time, I am sure.
And what sure. kind of things have to happen? What does the administration need to see in order to avoid those tariffs?
Well, the tariffs are incoming tomorrow on Canada, and the reason for that is because both Canada and Mexico have allowed an unprecedented invasion of illegal fentanyl that is killing American citizens and also illegal immigrants into our country. In fact, I have more language for you right here. Canada, Mexico, and China, which, as I mentioned, President Trump will implement a 10% tariff on China, have all enabled illegal drugs to pour into America. The amount of fentanyl that has been seized at the southern border in the last 2 years alone has the potential to kill tens of millions of Americans. And so the president is intent on doing this. And I think Justin Trudeau would be wise to talk to President Trump directly before pushing outlandish comments like that to the media.
All right. A couple things. Number one, we are going to have some executive orders signed by the president shortly. So let's make sure that we're queued up and ready to go for that. Because as he's been doing, he's been taking questions from the press in the Oval Office. And for some reason, it's not live. I don't know exactly the reason why that is. It may be just an issue in terms of the logistics, but they usually have the scrum, as it's called, with the scum of the press in the Oval Office. He signs the executive orders in front of them. Then he takes some questions and then they release it and then they air it afterwards. So, guys, let's just make sure we're ready to go with that when it happens. It could come up any moment now. And he's probably going to get asked this question. Now, the question, of course, is this a mental judo game to play with Mexico, with Canada, and with... Sorry, they just showed a shot of a guy in Fox News getting his makeup done on set. They were about to go to him, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, is this a mental judo game here, or is this really going to happen? Larry Kudlow, who used to be one of the president's chief economic advisors, was asked about this on Fox News shortly, a little time ago, and he said, look, he goes, the price of goods will go up. Certain things will go up, but it's not going to be overnight, and it will be a little bit, but the bigger effect is going to be felt on their end than our end versus Americans paying more for things. Because that question was asked today by the White House press corps to Caroline Leavitt as well. Well, look, aren't you going to be making American citizens pay more for things? And she said, American citizens are already absorbing the cost of illegal immigration, fentanyl, and et cetera, et cetera. She was also asked about China and the COVID-19 virus coming from a lab. And she thanked John Ratcliffe, the CIA director, for his candor in saying and confirming that, yes, COVID-19 came from a lab. And although she did not use the exact frame, she said at the end, she said, she didn't say exact words. She said it was not an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. OK. All right. That's basically what I got. That's basically what I got. So she said China is also going to be paying a price for that. Are the tariffs on China also about that as well? Okay, that's another question. We'll find out too. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We're just there's a lot of stuff coming in right now, so if I seem a little distracted, it's only because we're getting pummeled as usual with breaking news on the show. They also just wrapped up a briefing with the National Transportation Safety Board, and we're awaiting the president to come speak at any moment too as he signs all these executive orders. So all these things are happening, and you know, as usual, we're trying to adjust to it. Matt's grabbing more cuts of Caroline Leavitt, right, Matt? You're grabbing more cuts of Caroline Leavitt, I'm assuming, from the press briefing.
I just added the Maduro one.
All right, cool. Yeah, Stephen, grab a couple more, and we'll talk about that. But this was another interesting point of what she said today. She said that blue state leaders would be wise to comply with the Trump administration on mass deportations. That's another issue here that came up today during the White House press briefing. They would be wise to comply, all right? Stop messing around here. Stop standing in the way. Comply. Do your job. Do what you're supposed to do, which is to get in line and help, all right? Because it's what your people want. You see, that's the thing I think the mayor of Chicago is missing, the mayor of all these blue cities is missing, is that these people want the illegal immigrants off their streets. The citizens of these cities want illegal immigrants off their streets. And that's the point that Caroline Leavitt was making today. Cut number one.
Thank you so much for having me here answering a question.
It's too low. Can you turn it up? Cut one.
Success that ICE is having, finding these violent criminal aliens, some of them being sexual predators. But my friend Ben Burkwam reports that the Chicago mayor and the Illinois governor are preventing ICE agents from going into jails and prisons to enforce detainers against illegal aliens. In Maryland, the attorney general has also put out a memo hindering local police cooperation with ICE. Does the administration have any comment on leftist state local officials defying ICE and Trump's deportation efforts?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that Democrat officials in these cities who have been completely overrun and overwhelmed by illegal immigrant criminals would refuse support and help to cure this problem that has especially taken over their cities. I guess they don't want to admit they've been wrong with their sanctuary city policies. I'm not sure. You'll have to ask them about their intentions. But they would be very wise to comply with this administration because this administration is hell-bent on enforcing our nation's immigration laws. And this administration will continue to arrest and detain and deport illegal migrant criminals. And what we won't do is defy our nation's immigration laws like the previous administration who had these orders of removal on illegal immigrants across the country and were refusing to execute on them. We will continue to remove illegal criminals from our nation's interior.
That's it. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We're going to remove them. We're going to remove these criminals. And that's what we're going to do. It's what we have to do. It's what the American people want. It's what the American people voted for. It's what the American people expect of this administration. That's what they want. And it's what, look, it's what they're looking for from their mayors and their governors. You know what I mean? That's what they want. They want the crime to go down. They want the illegal immigrants off the streets. They've had it. You know, they've had it. I mean, let's just think about it. Oh, by the way, you know what I love today? Trump banned the 51 intelligence agents, all of them, all 51 who lied about the Hunter Biden laptop letter, all 51 banned from entering federal buildings. Banned with a capital B from entering federal buildings. Oh, yeah, baby. That's how this president rolls. He's like, listen, you people lied and you misled the American people. You engaged in massive election interference. You want to talk about election interference in the 2020 election? This is why I think it's perfectly appropriate for people to say the 2020 election was stolen. No, really. Seriously, this is why. And I'll explain this to you. Every time somebody questions whether or not Biden won the election, what they're looking for is for they're trying to get you to go down a rabbit hole about voting machines and vote tallies and all these other things. What you need to do is you need to reframe the question, okay? And say, do I think the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump? I absolutely do. And I'll tell you why. Because had that letter not come out from those 51 former national intelligence officials, had the CIA not worked to conceal the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop, had the FBI confirmed its authenticity, the facade of Joe Biden as a grandpa trying to keep you safe from COVID and mean tweets hiding in his basement would have crumbled before your very eyes. And the American people would have realized Joe Biden has gotten rich off of being a sleazy, corrupt politician, and that undermines the United States of America on the world stage. And while I don't know what the outcome would have been, I know that that effort by the deep state, the 51 former national security officials, and the Central Intelligence Agency to do that, and the FBI completely, when they had the laptop in their possession and saying nothing, that contributed absolutely to Donald Trump losing that election. So do I think it was stolen? Absolutely. Maybe not in the way you're trying to frame the question in terms of votes and ballots, but you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that that was that the American people would have made the exact same determination had they had all that information. It was the greatest election collusion we've ever seen in modern recent political history. The greatest political collusion in modern political history, where you had national intelligence officials who all had access. They all had access. They knew the information. They knew what the contents were on the Hunter Biden laptop. They knew what was real. They knew what wasn't. And they went out there and they lied. They lied to all of us. And then they censored the American people on it as well. Okay? So what she said today, for example, like on the CIA assessment, and she said, you know, President Trump was right again. Remember, President Trump said that COVID came from a lab. He was another one who didn't believe the bat burger theory. the bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. President Trump didn't buy it. And she said that today as well. And she commended the CIA director, John Ratcliffe. We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about that a little bit later on the show today, about that assessment from the Central Intelligence Agency. But I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that we're all having this conversation, that we've all known this. I mean, nobody really believed COVID came from a bat burger, except they were told by the government to go push that narrative. So the corporate media does what they always did, or did what they always do, which is they push the narrative of government, because you have the unholy triad of government, corporate media, and big tech all working together in a giant collusion. And that's exactly what we saw there. So I have more audio clips of you from the press secretary today, but I also have for you, it's a busy day, as I mentioned, I also have what Secretary Marco Rubio said regarding Greenland. Could we be purchasing Greenland? Could Greenland become part of the United States of America? He's saying President Trump wants it, wants to buy it. There's a lot of strategic reasons why we should want to buy it. So will we get Greenland? Will we acquire Greenland? Here's Secretary of State Marco Rubio, cut number 4.
There was a conference call between President Trump and the Danish prime minister. Apparently didn't go very well. It reportedly involved some sort of a meltdown on the prime minister's part. They don't want to give it up. So what does that, what options does that leave us? Because President Trump did not rule out economic or potentially military use.
Well, I think President Trump's, what he has said publicly is he wants to buy it. He wants to pay for it. And how we worked on something like that, how something like that is approached, obviously is probably done better in the appropriate forums. As opposed, a lot of the stuff is done publicly, and it's not helpful because it puts the other side in a tough spot domestically. So those conversations are going to happen. But this is not a joke. Like, what he is saying is pretty accurate. People have talked about it for years. We do have, this is not about acquiring land for the purpose of acquiring land. This is in our national interest, and it needs to be solved. President Trump's put out there what he intends to do, which is to purchase it. I wasn't privy to that phone call, but I imagine the phone call went the way a lot of these phone calls go, and that is he just speaks bluntly and frankly with people. And ultimately, I think diplomacy in many cases works better when you're straightforward as opposed to using platitudes and language that translates to nothing.
And this is a very definitive language, which is the CIA assessment on COVID-19. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who, again, she's doing a great job. These are not daily briefings. This was these are turning into weekly briefings. But again, I think a part of the reason for that is that, and who knows, maybe they'll become daily at some point. But the president spoke to the press corps yesterday. He's going to speak to the press corps again. He's probably already talking to them right now in the Oval Office. So this is a guy who doesn't hide from the press. Biden took him like 1,000 days to even approach the White House press briefing room. So it's a very, very different administration from the previous one. But here's what the press secretary said on the CIA assessment about COVID. Take a listen.
Kudos to John Ratcliffe for revealing that truth and that fact to the American people. Many years too late, the Biden administration had a chance to let the American people know the truth about that. And for some reason, they chose not to. I also would just like to point out that several years ago, when I was working in this press shop and President Trump would take to this podium to brief the American people on COVID-19, he suggested that COVID very well may have came from a lab in Wuhan, China. And many members in this very room mocked him for that, said he was spewing conspiracy theories. He was not. We now know that to be the confirmable truth. It took many years for it to come out, but the president was right in this instance again.
There you go. Wasn't an undercooked bat burger. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. What did Hakeem Jeffries say? Is he calling for an insurrection? We'll bring you the clip of Hakeem Jeffries. Is he saying fight? Is it metaphorical? Is it real? We'll talk about it. It's a busy Friday afternoon. We're glad you're here. We're streaming live on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Friday feeling. Man, it's hard to believe the Super Bowl's in a week and 2 days, but that's going to be exciting. You know, some schools in our area are actually giving kids Monday off. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I really don't. I don't think it's a bad. I have no problem with that whatsoever. None whatsoever. I think it's perfectly fine. It's like a local holiday in our area. Want to give the kids off. Companies want to give their employees Monday off. Fine with me. The game's late. You know, Patrick wants to watch the game. I don't want to have to send him to bed because he's at school the next day. I hope he gets off. I do. I hope he gets off on Monday. Hey, maybe that's a controversial take. I don't really care. All I know is it's a realistic, practical take. If the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, then it should be declared a local holiday on that Monday, a local win or lose. You can't have it be like, well, if they win, you get off. If they lose, you go to work. Everybody's going to be freaking miserable if they lose. So it should be a local holiday and then regional. For our entire region. And then it should extend to anybody listening to this show wherever you are, if you root for the Eagles. So in other words, if you're rooting for the Eagles, but you're listening to me in Ohio or Florida, because we have the Zeoli armies everywhere, Texas, Washington, right? If you're rooting for the Eagles in Walla Walla, Washington, you know what I'm talking about, Richard, then you get Monday off too. Right? That's what I'm saying. If you're listening to us, and where do we have, is it Rwanda map that we've got people streaming the show?
I thought it was Ethiopia.
If you are an Ethiopia Zioli Army member rooting for the Eagles and the Super Bowl and they win, you should get Monday off in Ethiopia. That's how that should work. Basically, anyone who listens to the show, no matter where you're located, that Monday, if you're rooting for Kansas City, I got nothing for you. It's a holiday for you. Kids off from school, and then that day, nobody has to go to work. Wait, what's the rumor that you're saying here right now?
It won't impact the Eagles this year, obviously, but there is a rumor going around that moving forward, the NFL would like to add an additional week to the regular season schedule. That way, the Super Bowl would fall on the day before President's Day every year, which would mean the entire nation would get that Monday off.
Not a bad idea. It kind of is our national sport besides baseball, which is our national pastime, but that's not a bad idea. Look, if the Phillies were in Game 7 of the World Series, I'd say the same thing. The problem is you can't have seven holidays. That's the problem with baseball, right? If the Phillies make the World Series, you can't say you're going to have seven potential holidays. Like, that's insane. So I think if there's a Game 7 situation, the next day is a holiday. But that the NFL, that'd be smart. I mean, the Super Bowl at one point was in January, wasn't it?
It probably
Justin would
was
know. You don't know squat about sports. Don't even pretend. Justin would know. Justin, wasn't the Super Bowl regularly a thing in January?
Yeah, back when the schedule only had between 12 and 15 games, it would typically be at the end of January. But as we've added more weeks to the season, it's been pushed back later and later. So, yeah, it used to be in January. Now it's typically the first week in February.
What do we think? Do we think a regional holiday for Monday?
100%. Without a shadow of a doubt.
And a lot of parents right now who have to worry about childcare want to kill me for saying this. Like, shut up! It would have to be hand-in-hand with work and school. It would have to be, because for a lot of parents, they'd be screwed if the schools were closed. And they still have to go to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not easy.
I'm just worried about because I saw what the streets of Philadelphia were like after the NFC Championship. So I'm just thinking about what they're going to be like when we win next week.
That's right. When we win. Exactly. What DeSantis, what?
No, Justin's making a good point. We may get a de facto vacation day just because no one's able to get to work due to all of the parading and celebrations.
That's
if the
true.
Eagles win.
Yeah, if the Eagles win on Monday. I mean, Odyssey, given that we are the flagship radio station for the Eagles, 94.1 The Whip, WIP.
The Whip.
Odyssey should give us the day off because of that. They should give us February 10th off.
Honestly, it's going to be even worse if the Eagles lose now that I think about it. Who the hell wants to go to work on Monday after a devastating defeat like that?
Nobody. 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 I mean, if Trump had lost the election, I mean, I knew he wasn't going to, but I would have taken off that Wednesday in a heartbeat. No way I was showing up for work on that day. You know what I mean? No way. I would have pulled the stomach virus.
You would have been it. Friday, maybe. I don't know. I could have seen you taking that day off. But Wednesday,
if they move election day to Thursday, they should move election day to Thursday. It's a good idea. I have to amend the Constitution, but it's all right. So we'll see about that. But I'm in favor of a holiday for everybody, and that's the least I can do for you. Not that I have the power to declare one, but maybe the president will announce that by executive order today from the White House. A little more Caroline Leavitt from the White House press secretary's briefing today. And like I said, she's doing a great job. She's fired up. This is her talking about Americans who are concerned about increased prices, because obviously, as you're talking about these potential tariffs that are coming, and I don't know if they're going to happen. It's a big number, though. It's a big number. 25% on Canada, 25% on Mexico, 10% on China. So if you are concerned about these prices, then you got to think about that, obviously. It's why a lot of people right now are hoping that this does not come to fruition. Cut 21.
Can you guarantee that those tariffs won't increase prices for Americans, including at the gas pump and the grocery store?
I think Americans who are concerned about increased prices should look at what President Trump did in his first term. He effectively implemented tariffs, and the average inflation rate during the first Trump administration was 1.9%. In fact, when President Trump left office, it was 1.4%. So President Trump is going to do everything he possibly can to cut the inflation crisis that the previous administration imposed on the American people, and he will continue to effectively utilize tariffs.
All right. Now we'll see if it comes to fruition. I don't know what he's going to want of Mexico and Canada to not put them in place, but you know, here's the thing. Right now, little Fidel is up there, and whoever the woman who's the president of Mexico is a socialist kook. The two of them are, there's no question Trump's going to do it, right? It's not like they're sitting there wondering, like, is this guy bluffing? The one thing you know about Donald Trump is that if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. So they know that. So this is where Trump is such a skilled negotiator from his years in business, because there's no doubt that this is going to happen. Right? He's not shy about doing it. He believes in tariffs. He's going to do this. So what can you give him that would make him either cut those tariffs in half, delay the tariffs? See what I mean? That's what's going through their minds right now. You know he's going to do it, because he doesn't just come out and say these things. So what can we give to the United States of America that would either get him to delay the tariffs, give us 6 months? Like, if I'm Mexico right now, I'm calling up the president, I'm saying, listen, Mr. President, here's the deal. We are going to work with you to go after the cartels, all right? Give us 6 months, show us, we'll show you what we can do, all right? Even though we have the most corrupt law enforcement in the Western Hemisphere, and even though we make a ton of cash off the drug trade, this is a big deal. So we are going to do everything we can to go after the cartels, but we need your help, because obviously they'll kill all of us, so we need your help. And then give us 6 months and we'll prove to you that we can actually do a crackdown on this. What does he tell little Fidel up there? What does little Fidel call up and request to get Trump to not put tariffs on the 25% of the Canadian goods? Because again, what does he have to offer? I don't know. But they brought up the northern border as well. And when Trudeau went to Mar-a-Lago a few months ago, he obviously had dinner with him, and he was humiliated before the world sage. So what was that conversation about? Yeah, Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo, too busy begging Google to reject renaming the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, that is a real thing that's happening. The president of Mexico, I have a friend of mine, their au pair is from Mexico. I just wanted to share. I'll share this with you, right? So, lovely young woman from Mexico, here taking care of the kids on a student visa. She's an au pair, right? So that's kind of a pretty common situation for people to bring in au pairs. When that woman won in Mexico, she said, I won't say her name, but flipped out about the Mexican election results. Her parents won't allow her to go back to Mexico. Said she has to go to college in America now. They're all convinced Mexico will be ruined. This is the new president. And she sent a clip on Instagram. They all believe it will become a socialist country and they will lose their property rights. Also, crime is going to increase. Anyway, it will be interesting as it relates to the United States. And they said this, too. They said, I could care. This is what one a Mexican woman said the following when this woman was elected president of Mexico. I could care less that this is the first woman president. She is the first woman president that gassed feminist marches, erased names from the lists of missing people, has lied about the rates of femicides within this election. They killed dozens of candidates, burned voting booths throughout the country. This is not a win. The narcos are in favor of this party. Why? Because they are part of it. I'm sad, scared, angry, and frustrated for my country's future. This is Mexico now. We had the worst sexenium in history. They allowed organized crime to rule the country, and it's going to continue. And for those who voted for her, I hope no one in your family gets killed, that they don't take away the private property, that we still have the right to choose in the next elections, Thanks for being part of the destruction of a country that has so much potential. It is incredible what is happening today. Today we are in mourning. This is painful and heartbreaking. Pray for Mexico. So I'm thinking, if I'm that socialist kook who's in bed with the drug cartels in Mexico, and my country is about to get slapped with 25% tariffs, I'm not sitting there right now in Mexico City wondering if Trump's going to do it. I know Trump's going to do it, because this guy doesn't bluff. So the question is, I know I got his number. I can call the White House. What am I going to offer him? And what he wants is two concessions. He wants me to crack down on the drug cartels, and he wants to stop the invasion of the southern border. Can I be a partner in that? And what I'm going to ask him to do is to send military forces to Mexico. Now, everybody's talked about this whole idea of Trump using the military to go after the drug cartels. And all the conversations of people outraged by this, they're always going from acting from the perspective that this would be an invasion by the United States on sovereign Mexican soil. Which, technically speaking, would be true. If we send our troops into a foreign country and we don't have permission to be there, that's the very definition of an invasion. You can justify it or not, but that's literally what it is. But you're looking at it the wrong way if that's what you think. When the president says, look, listen, I will use the military to go after the cartels, and I declare the cartels to be a terrorist organization, a foreign terrorist organization against the United States of America, willing to take any and all steps necessary to defeat them, the message to Mexico is clear. Hey, call us and we'll send them to your side of the border and have them do an enforcement action. Like, it doesn't have to be a situation where we invade your country. We don't want to do that. We're not looking to start war with Mexico. But just pick up the phone and call us and we'll send you the Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, whoever. Position them along the southern border and let us kick some ass and let's end this thing once and for all. Let's go after the drug cartels. Our guys are not afraid of this. Like, you guys in Mexico are terrified of going after the drug cartels. That's why if you always see the Mexican troops, they're always, their faces are covered. The Mexican police, their faces are covered. It's a very corrupt country. And the drug cartels are incredibly powerful. We're not afraid of them. So use our special forces to go. We'll fly them in. And then let them go after whoever's in charge now, whatever the cartel, we'll figure them out. We'll figure out their houses. We'll drone strike their houses, whatever. We'll kill them. We'll take care of it for you. Done. You want it to end. We want it to end. Let's work something out. Now, if I'm the president of Mexico, I know that immediately puts a bullseye on me, 100%. But Trump's got a bullseye on him from the drug cartels. What, you don't think they want him dead? Of course they do. They're not going to get to him. So he can make that same deal with the Mexican president. Listen, not only will I send special forces down there, I will make sure you have the best protection of any world leader on par with me. So you don't have to worry about it. That's what I'll give you. So I won't do tariffs. And I'll give you the best protection of any world leader that you'll have the same level of protection I have. And we'll send our special forces to Mexico to go kick some ass, and then you'll be popular with your country. And then when this is over, you can go back to fighting about the name of the Gulf of Mexico, which is now the Gulf of America, boo. You know what I mean? That's what you got to do. That's where I see this playing out in the psychological game that is international politics with our neighbor in the South. Because from her perspective, she's terrified of the cartels. Every Mexican president is. Every Mexican politician is. Every Mexican federale, you have to wonder, are they in the pocket of the cartels or not? And there's a whole issue here, too, about human trafficking that President Trump has said on multiple times he wants to end. So end the trafficking. Let us be a partner in this. And then the Mexican president can turn around and say, fine, 6 months, we're good. And then if in 6 months, Mr. President, you don't see things changing, and knowing Trump will say, well, then it's going to be 30% tariffs. OK, I'll give you a 6 month extension, but then it's going to be 30%. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But I guarantee you right now that there are deals being made from both of those two countries. Trudeau has less to give because obviously, the northern border is not as penetrated as the southern border is, but I'm sure there's still concessions that Canada can make that would make Trump happy. Probably vis-a-vis their dealings with China. All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. There'll be an NTSB update soon. We'll dip into that for you. And also, President Trump expected to sign some more executive orders. He'll have the White House press corps in the Oval Office. If he says anything, or if he does speak to them, we'll bring that to you live as well. My buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, great guy, great friend, and the master of dental implants. There really is nobody like him. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, reach out to Dr. Mike today for your perfect smile. Listen, when it comes to complicated dental work, there's no one better. That's why for 10 consecutive years, his peers have recognized him as a master of dental implants, the master of giving you your best smile, and the master of cleaning up the work that other bad dentists have done. So reach out to Dr. Mike. If you are across the river and you're thinking, I'm not driving to Jersey to get my teeth done, well, I just want you to think about something. This is your smile. This is the way the world sees you. Isn't it worth paying a toll to get the best of the best? You're damn right it is. And that's what Dr. Mike, that's what he offers. The whole staff is great. They play great music. Everybody there is dedicated to your care. VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Get your free implant consultation today. VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Which version is this, Justin?
This is a remaster of the original release.
Is this Nine Inch Nails?
No, it's Led.
Oh, it's Led Zeppelin? It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. The Nine Inch Nails cover is really good, too. This is great, though. This version of Immigrant Song, I think, might be the best version of Immigrant Song. Just like the best version of Joe Biden. This is the best version of Immigrant Song. Now, that's a good version right there.
It's the most popular one, and it's for a reason. Like, I'll give credit to Nine Inch Nails. Love them. Great band. But you can't beat Led Zeppelin.
No. Absolutely not. No way. No way. Their cover's okay, but it's a little low energy, right? Don't you think, compared to that?
I mean, with that, you hear the drums just kick in, and it just punches you in the face. And that's what you want from a good, like, rock song.
Now, there is a band called Nonpoint that did a cover of Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight, which is actually really good. They did that in the Miami Vice movie that they made. Did you see that movie?
I don't think I did. I can't. When was it released?
Like 10 years ago, probably. DeSantis, did you ever hear the show Miami Vice?
I've heard of the show. A lot
of
my pink
God.
Ferrari,
it's one of the most popular shows of all time, Miami Vice.
It's from like the 80s.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, when TV was great. The 80s.
I wasn't watching TV in the 80s. Spoiler alert.
Talk about drugs, by the way. They were a bunch of cops in Miami dealing with drugs coming into Miami. Miami Vice. Don Johnson. Hello. Crockett and Tubbs.
I believe you. I don't know. I'm not familiar with any of it.
Anyway, they made a movie version years later with Colin, what's his face, and somebody else. Yeah, Colin Farrell. He played the Don Johnson character.
Oh, and then Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx played the other guy. So it was good. I thought it was good anyway, but
it is not good. I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes reviews right now.
Why are you listening to critics?
I trust
the
Rotten Tomatoes.
What's the popcorn meter
people.
Say?
What the heck is popcorn meter? Oh, that's the viewer
audience.
That's
meter.
Even worse. 43%.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it's not good. Maybe
tried.
Yeah. Only elites look at the critics, by the way. We the people. Oh, and speaking of trafficking, did you see that trailer? You know that guy who's in all those movies? You know the one I'm talking about.
I know several of those people, actually.
The guy, he goes in all those movies and he just kicks ass all the time. What's his name? Jason Statham? Yeah. Did you see the new... What?
Did you say Jason Strahan?
Yeah. Isn't that his name?
Jason Statham.
No, okay,
yeah,
that's
it. Strahan is like a former football player.
Oh, that's Michael Strahan.
That's Michael
right?
Strahan, though, yeah.
All right. So, you know how Trump named John Voight, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone as special ambassadors to Hollywood?
Yes.
Well, an action movie written by Sylvester Stallone dropped the trailer, okay? It's all about human trafficking, and it's with that guy. Who's that guy? The actor. Jason something or other. You know, he's got the accent.
Yeah, Jason Statham.
That's the guy.
Statham.
That's what I said. Anyway, it looks like this guy who put out the trailer said it looks like Trump is expanding his influence to Hollywood, and I expect the left to vehemently oppose this movie just like they did with Sound of Freedom. Let's load up the trailer to show it a little bit later in the show today. I'll send it over to you guys because it's really good, and it's a long trailer, though, but I'm telling you, it's all about the idea this guy's a special forces guy, retired, working in construction. The guy's daughter gets kidnapped. And he uncovers this whole human trafficking operation going on that the government is in on. Now, the script is written by Stallone. And even though the actor apparently is no fan of Trump, I think he's like a never Trumper kind of guy. It doesn't matter. He's willing to take the cash to be in the movie, and he's good. He's a good actor in those action movies. So, much like how The Sound of Freedom focused on trafficking, but in a much less kind of like action packed way. I mean, this movie is pure adrenaline, pure action. Looks great. And I do think there is something happening in Hollywood, which is that they're recognizing now how many people are willing to spend money on stuff that's not lefty propaganda, A. So I think Marvel's going to lose money now. Since the guy who plays Captain America came out and stupidly said Captain America doesn't stand for America, I think it's absolutely 100% going to hurt that movie. You'll see if I'll be right about that, 100%. Number three, I think Hollywood is going to have to wake up to the fact that a lot of people look at them and wonder about their involvement with human trafficking because of all the people who were on Epstein's plane and that Epstein list, that client list, which is going to come out when Kash Patel gets confirmed as FBI director. So if there's any dirty laundry to be aired, people better air it real quick. And this is not a joke. Human trafficking is real. It's not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's a real thing that happens all around the world, by the way. People are trafficked all around planet Earth. And for the fact that they're going to do a movie about it and not just ignore it, tells me that there is a cultural shift that's happening in Hollywood, which is good. That's the way it should be. Sylvester Stallone, John Voight, and Mel Gibson. Those three as ambassadors to Hollywood to clean up the cultural rot that's occurred there. I think Hollywood would be very smart to look at the success of Yellowstone and all of the Taylor Sheridan projects and see the marketplace that exists right now for shows like that and movies like that, and to see the flop that Snow White's going to be and the flop that I think Captain America's going to be, which is a damn shame because I was so excited to see that movie. I can't do it now. As much as I love it, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, it because this is the time now that you gotta just kind of vote with your dollars if you want to see stuff that's, you know, that gets that the change that occurs. You know, Superman, make a pro-America movie. Like, he's our guy. Superman's our guy, right? Truth, justice, and the American way. Don't hide from that. Like they did when they made that stupid sequel many years ago called Superman Returns, and they had them say, "Does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff?" And they left out that very crucial line, "and the American way." They did that on purpose because they wanted to sell lots and lots of tickets to China. So this could be a moment of a change. But when I saw the trailer for this movie, I thought, wow, for a big major Hollywood studio, this is a big Hollywood studio, to go after and make a feature length, huge, big movie with big Hollywood actors, A-list actors in it about human trafficking. Wow. That's an acknowledgement that they're getting the joke. If you know what I mean. They're understanding the marketplace that's out there, and they want to cater to that marketplace. What did you want to say about Hollywood?
Oh, they're fraud. So basically,
total
right
frauds.
Now, So Carla Sofia Gascon is the first transgender actor who was nominated for Best Actress, and I think right now is the front runner to win the Oscar for Best Actress. So, a darling of Hollywood. Well, right. It turns out that in the past, Carla posted some disparaging comments about George Floyd protests and immigration, and now everyone hates Carla.
So, Carla went from being the golden child of Hollywood to now public enemy number one.
Yeah, had to delete social media and everything. had to issue an apology. It's crazy.
They are frauds. They're total
Hollywood
frauds.
Hollywood is, yeah, they're yeah. It's a disaster. By the way, I've been mowing through the Best Picture nominees. They're all this is a terrible year for movies.
It's all
at least
terrible.
As far as at least as far as the Oscar contenders go, every movie is worse than the last. I desperately wanted to watch The Brutalist. It's like 3.5 hours. It was torture. It wasn't good at all.
My God. Well, look, I got to take a break. This is brutal. You jumping in like this right now is brutal beyond anything.
Sorry.
I don't even know why I went to you. What was I thinking? All right. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. President Trump may speak from the Oval Office. If he does, we'll bring it to you live. NTSB update coming as well. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.